When I first started to come here to Mansonville, I met this gentleman, and he had this phrase. He says, "It was supernatural. It was supernatural." And he was recounting different situations in his personal life. That person, of course, was Wayne. Wayne says, "It was supernatural, this thing that happened." And supernatural, it was. It's the Holy Spirit working in some fashion or in some situation that Wayne recognized at the time. I'd not heard of supernatural as a word being used that way, but when you think about it, the Holy Spirit is exactly that. Above and beyond our comprehension, above and beyond what we can through science or laws of nature or any other way, when God is involved and the Holy Spirit is involved, it is supernatural. It is supernatural. So we are blessed because as Christians we have a supernatural helper. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and if you have Christ in your life, do you need the Holy Spirit? Amen. We do. But unfortunately, there are some who may not think so. But it's impossible to lead a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. We really need to comprehend that power and who he is. And it was first revealed, some of the attributes of who the Holy Spirit is. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." Will rest on, of course, this is the prophecy of Christ. And that Spirit has got so much power in so many dimensions. It is a spirit of wisdom and understanding and of counsel, of might, of knowledge and fear, the right kind of fear of the Lord. And that Spirit that was prophesied to come to Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth, or would be in Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth, is available to us. Each and every one of us can have this Holy Spirit, have him in us. The same Spirit that is in Christ is the same Spirit that is available to each and every one of us. And it's available to us as a gift. It's a gift. It is the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus Christ is God, just as Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God, and he is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful, because he is God. How well do we know and understand and believe in this amazing power that we have been given? This power that is repeated and mentioned over 320 times in the Bible. You know, it's the power when the thing that always fascinated me when they were building the tabernacle and they were, you know, God gave these very specific instructions on how the tabernacle was to be built and what materials were to be used and how they were all to be put together and beautifully decorated and crafted. And I'm thinking, where did these people get this? How will they know? How will they craft it? How will they put it all together? And it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into two people at the time, Bezalel and Oholiab. And I'll read Exodus 31. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, interesting, with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. It was the Holy Spirit, that gift of the Holy Spirit that was given to those two men to learn and to use that gift to craft all of the pieces of the temple. That same inspiration that was given to them was given to all the prophets when we read everywhere from Isaiah right to the end of Micah. Every one of those prophets was given the Holy Spirit. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the Holy Spirit? John mentioned it in his opening. It's done when we admit that we are sinners. It's done when we admit that we are sinners and we respond to the call of Christ and we say to him, I want to change. I'm not happy with my old life. I'm ashamed of my old life. I want the new life. I want the Holy Spirit to be in me. What this is called is repentance. And in Acts chapter 2:38, Peter, in response to the question, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. And what happens when you repent? You will receive the gift, this power, this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. This gift of the Holy Spirit will be given to you. And when we receive this gift, we become one of God's people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16, it says, don't you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We have God in us. The same God that was Spirit that was given is in us upon repentance. Even more so, it says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple. We are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will live with them, walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. That we will be God's people. Actually, that's only half the story. Actually, we're more than his people. Because when we receive the Holy Spirit, we become one of his children. Children. How we love our children. You see, the Spirit that you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we can cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit will testify or testifies himself with our spirit that what? We are God's children. And when you are the child of a father, you have a much more intimate relationship. That relationship is available to you. That relationship we experience through prayer. We experience that relationship in God's Word as it's revealed to us as we read it. Instead of a relationship of being afraid and as slaves, the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are God's children. Not just people, God's people, we are children of God. What an amazing blessing. What an amazing blessing. Who is this Holy Spirit? What does he do? I'm going to cover just 3 or 4 points, but there's so much more. But the first one is, he is our counselor. He teaches us. He's a comforter. He's an advisor. He's our helper. He's our encourager. He is our strength. John read in his prayer, he is our strength and our refuge because God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is where we can go. In Psalm 143, verse 10, it says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." It is this Holy Spirit that leads us. When David said, "Search my heart," we ask God that the Holy Spirit searches our heart. Because the Holy Spirit, God knows us probably better than we know ourselves. The other thing about the Holy Spirit, he's beside us and he is our advocate. He is pleading for us. He is, you know, if you were in a court of law, he would not only be your defense, but he would be your pleading. He would be your advocate. He would represent you, and he would represent you in the best possible way. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And what else? He's going to be with you forever. We don't just have him for a little while here and there. We don't sort of take him now and then we'll come back later. He is always with us. He's always with us. There's something else that he does that's incredible. He intercedes for us. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." You see, sometimes, I don't know if it's happened in your life. It happens to me. You wake up sometimes and you just say, I just don't, what's going on? What's going on? I need some help here, God. Something's just not right. And you can go to God in prayer, and the Holy Spirit will express things for us that maybe we cannot articulate. Maybe not in exactly the way we just don't have the exact words, but we can plead and we can say through the Holy Spirit, "Please help me to understand. Articulate this for me. Help me. Intercede for me. Help me with my grief, or help me with my anxiety, or help me with my depression." Because the Holy Spirit knows how to say those things to God our Father in a way that will be meaningful, and he will answer. How amazing that we have this intercessor, the Holy Spirit. But what's even more amazing is we have more than one. We have more than one. In Romans chapter 8, 34, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God." And what is he doing? He's also interceding for us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have them interceding for us on behalf of us in front of the Father. And we have one in our hearts, the Holy Spirit himself. Where's another thing about the Holy Spirit? It's invaluable. You see, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of our body. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. He shows us our sin. And by the way, in your prayers, if you haven't asked him, it's a good thing to ask, "Please show me where I'm going wrong and then help me correct it." You see, the Holy Spirit sets us free. It sets us free because from the sins that we cannot get rid of on our own. We need the Holy Spirit, the desire to have this new life and to obey and to love. It's a lifelong process, I know. It's a lifelong process that we have been entered into. In Romans 8, verse 2, "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has done what? He has set you free from the law of sin, and he set you free from what? Death. He gives us eternal life. It's eternal life. When we have the Holy Spirit in us, the holy life the eternal life is a guaranteed, sealed. We should always ask in our prayers that the Holy Spirit help us to get rid of sin, to help us get rid of guilt, and to help us get rid of, or to help us to stop sinning, because He set us free. He sets us free. He gives life. It says, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. You know, yesterday we memorialized and remembered Jackie. Isn't it nice that we can have this scripture as comfort and encouragement? You see, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have hope, because our God is a God of hope, and we who are His children can have peace and joy and hope going forward. The last point of many, but the last point for today about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is what is called our sanctifier. He shapes us, He molds us, He trains us, He teaches us, He leads us over a period of time so that over that time we bear the fruit of Him being in us. We change, our character changes. I really appreciated Tom's testimony yesterday because he experienced the start of the change in character that takes place upon receiving the Holy Spirit. And once that starts, then it is the Holy Spirit who works with us, who changes us, who sanctifies us, who prepares us for heaven and eternal life. And He does that by giving us and training us in the bearing of fruit. And that fruit includes love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. And I know we can't get those in an instant. We don't get them instantly. He does it over a period of time. I've prayed, and I hope you have too, and I'm sure you pray and say, help me bear this fruit. And I'm going to give you a caution. When you ask Him to help you bear the fruit, you're asking Him to help you change. And sometimes it's not easy. They're called trials. But those trials bear the fruit. Maybe it's a trial to learn how to love. Maybe it's a trial to learn how to be patient. But when you pray and ask through the Holy Spirit, please, may I bear the fruit of You being in me, He will answer. And He will prepare us. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. We can't do those things on our own without the Holy Spirit. We just can't do it. We have to ask Him. So I pray may we grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit more and more. Help us to understand. I pray, you know, that we understand the power, the love, the magnitude of who He is and that He is in us. There's so much more about the Holy Spirit. And as we approach Pentecost, let us get to know Him even better. And we will do so. It says in Galatians 5:16, says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk, in other words, make it this part of our life. This is our direction. To walk by the Spirit means to walk by faith. You know, God pours out His Spirit in our lives in response to our faith. The Holy Spirit. He is the power of God. He is God. And as a church, if we are to be healthy, Each and every one of us needs to have the Holy Spirit and to have it stirred up and welled in us, and that we understand that the Holy Spirit is God. Just as Jesus Christ is God, just as the Father is God. We sometimes, though, tend to focus on the Father and Jesus Christ, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what we should do. But let's not forget the Spirit. Let us not forget the Spirit, because we need Him desperately. We need Him desperately. Because we should never underestimate that power that is in us. We should never underestimate, as Wayne calls it, the supernatural. I'd like to close with a prayer. It's part of a prayer that I found from Francis Chan, who writes quite extensively about the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to pray. Holy Spirit, at times we have forgotten you, or maybe we don't understand you, or our understanding falls short as to who you are. At other times we knew that what you wanted us to do, but sometimes we chose to ignore your promptings. Yet this is not how we want to live now. We need you to change us. And only through you can we truly worship. Spirit of the Lord, you are the one who brings us to a place where we can worship you. You are the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of life. Thank you for the truth, the holiness, and the life you give us. We need your wisdom and understanding as we seek to live this life. Keep us from disbelief and from fear. We need your strength to help us to do what you are asking us to do and to live how you are asking us to live. Speak loudly in us and drown out the other voices calling us to conform to the pattern of the world. For you are the Spirit of self-control and love. Give us the self-control needed to deny our flesh and follow you. Give us a love strong enough to motivate courageous action. Manifest yourself through us that we may serve and love your bride, the church, as you do. We ask for your presence. We ask you be stirred up in us. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.